Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening.
Dear friends in Jesus Christ, being alive physically and being in sin is something that happens at conception. It happened to all of us when we were conceived. Therefore, all people are in need of being saved. And the Bible is clear that only God can save. No one else can save. No one can save himself. So how does God work through baptism to save? We talked about it already, but God the Father is working in conjunction with his representative, the Holy Spirit, to work through the water and word of baptism to unite to Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life, who took our sin, who took our punishment, who laid down his life. That's what baptism is. That's what God did for Olive just a few minutes ago. What does the Bible say about baptism? A couple passages here on the topic. In Titus chapter 3, it says that God saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So baptism is that primary tool, that primary means through which he is at work to regenerate. What does that mean to regenerate? God is grabbing a hold of a person who is dead in his sins and making him alive in Jesus Christ. It looks like a simple thing, but from God's perspective, according to God's word, it is a very powerful, eternal thing that God does in baptism. How about in Galatians 3, the Bible says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Try to think about it like this. Sometimes sin can be really nasty and filthy and dirty, okay? So think about sin in that way, and it's even disgusting to look at it. But imagine a pile of sin there, and then imagine a perfectly clean sheet being placed over that pile of sin and filth and corruption. That's really what's going on in baptism. So we have this reality of sin, and then Jesus Christ, he is that perfectly clean sheet which is covering the one being baptized, who is clothing the one being baptized. And now, though the sin remains, the person is wrapped in Jesus Christ, and on the basis of being in relationship with Christ, being wrapped in Jesus Christ, that person is saved. That person has the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Since Jesus is the Son of God, the only Son of God, since he lived a sinless life, since he took our sins and our punishment and laid down his life, he's the only one that can purify someone of their sins. So people have to be in relationship with him or there is no salvation. God has done that for Olive now, and God did that for probably all of us. I'm guessing that everyone here today at one time in life was baptized into Christ. A very important, powerful thing, but it is also essential then to continue in Jesus Christ. For all of us who are continuing today, we should greatly, greatly rejoice. For anyone who has fallen away from their union with Jesus Christ, hey, all is not lost, because God is calling all such people to repent. That means to be sorry for your sins, to again look to Jesus Christ, knowing who he is and what he has done, and embracing him alone as Savior, and then to go forth from there with a whole new attitude, knowing that your sins are forgiven, rejoicing in that great blessing, and wanting to know and live according to God's holy word. So the knowing and living is not saving us. It's simply our response of gratitude to honor our great God by knowing and living his word. So it's not saving us. Jesus Christ, he is the Savior. Today's sermon is different from most of the sermons I preach. Most of them that I preach are based directly on the Word of God, looking at a section oftentimes verse by verse. Today, though, we're going to look at a Bible-based hymn, and you have it laid out here right in your service folder. So you might want to take it out and follow along. What I intend to do is to go through each stanza one at a time. At the end of each stanza, we're going to sing through that stanza. So we're going to sing it to a tune that is pretty familiar to us, Christ the Life of All the Living, rather than the tune that's in the hymnal. Not too bad of a tune, but we're not real familiar. But you'll find this to be a familiar tune, I think. And what I'm also going to do here is, as I state what's in the hymn, I'm going to state each part of it twice. That might sound like too much, but for myself, though, I've looked at the hymn probably 5 or 10 times, and the more you look at it, the more God lets us see what's there and understand it and understand why it's important for us. So I hope you go with me as I state it twice as I work my way through here. Let's go to stanza one. God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. Again, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. So having been baptized into Christ, what is true? We have been clothed with Jesus Christ, thus we have been covered with the sinless life of Jesus. The hymn goes on, He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price. Talking about Jesus. He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price. Since we have all sinned, what does that mean? That means we have incurred a debt that we owe to God, and the debt is so big that no one on earth can pay that debt. We're needing God to hold back the punishment we deserve, and we're needing God to give us the love that we don't deserve, and that's what God does by sending his Son to pay our full redemption price. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says that Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. So Jesus Christ, he is the just one, the perfect one, the sinless one. We are the unjust ones, the imperfect ones, the sinful ones. So he did it once, he did it for all. No one is left out here, but the ones who will be left out are the ones who don't receive the benefits of what he has done. So just like Olive today, she received the benefits by the grace of God, and it's important then that she continues to have those benefits. And God continues to work through his word and through the sacraments in order to keep her then in Christ. Finally, in the first stanza, it says, Do I need earth's treasures many? I have one worth more than any that brought me salvation free, lasting to eternity. Again, do I need earth's treasures many? I have one worth more than any that brought me salvation free, lasting to eternity. So let's be honest about our lives here on earth. Our lives are short. Our lives are temporary in comparison to eternity. So the things we value sometimes most in life, like a house or a car, those things are also very short-lived, very temporary. The hymn is pointing us to the great value of Jesus Christ, and the hymn is pointing us to always treasure him rather than all this temporary stuff that we think is so important. Coming to the second stanza, the topic here is sin. So the person from the perspective of the hymn is talking to sin. Sin, disturb my soul no longer, I am baptized into Christ. Again, sin, disturb my soul no longer, I am baptized into Christ. So what is going on in the life of a Christian? He was dead in sin, but now by God's work, he is alive in Christ. Yet sin is continuing to work in his life to tempt him, to destroy his peace, and to try to rip him away from Jesus Christ. The hymn goes on, I have comfort even stronger, Jesus' cleansing sacrifice. I have comfort even stronger, Jesus' cleansing sacrifice. So sin is certainly powerful enough to kill, and sin does kill every person. However, though, the holy, precious blood of Jesus is even more powerful to overcome the sin and to give the gift of life. In 1 John chapter 1, it says that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. So no matter what sin it is, no matter how big it might seem, no matter how powerful it might seem, God wants us to know that the blood of Jesus Christ is more powerful than that sin. And then it goes on to say, should a guilty conscience seize me, since my baptism did release me, in a dear forgiving flood, sprinkling me with Jesus' blood. Again, should a guilty conscience seize me, since my baptism did release me, in a dear forgiving flood, sprinkling me with Jesus' blood. Even those who continue in Jesus Christ in a very faithful way, what can they find going on in their lives? They can find that they are being overwhelmed with the guilt of sin. When that happens, according to Hebrews chapter 10, God invites us to draw near to him with a true heart, to do so in full assurance of faith, and to do so with our hearts sprinkled clean by the blood of Jesus. Going on to the third stanza, this stanza is addressing Satan. Satan, hear this proclamation, I am baptized into Christ. Satan, hear this proclamation, I am baptized into Christ. So looking into the Old Testament, we find that Lucifer was a great, created, powerful, holy angel. And yet now, he is Satan, a very powerful, evil angel, enemy, and accuser of all sinners. Should we take the devil in a serious way? The Bible says we should. The Bible says he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Why would the Bible use a roaring lion? Lions are so fast and so strong and can see so good in the dark and many other things that the human being is no match at all for the lion. And to think that the devil is that way, trying to rip us away from Jesus Christ, we should sit up and take notice. Think about what it says in Revelation chapter 12 regarding the devil having been defeated by Jesus and being thrown down now upon the earth. The Bible says, woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. So the devil is working 24/7 in order to deceive us, in order to upset us with our sin, in order to finally pull us away from our Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn goes on, "Drop your ugly accusation, I am not so soon enticed." Talking to the devil, "Drop your ugly accusation, I am not so soon enticed." So the devil's scheme is to accuse us of being sinners to the point of us becoming hopeless. He wants us to think that our sin is greater than the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is important for us? If we don't do something, we're going to fall into that trap. So what is the something that we should do? We should be filling our minds with the truth of God's holy word, and we should also be resting in the total victory of Jesus. He declared, "It is finished." That is true. God wants us to be certain. Finally, in the third stanza, it says, "Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled, and against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me." Again, "Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled, and against your tyranny, God my Lord unites with me." So the Bible asks the question, if God is for us, who can be against us? So we have to wonder now, wait a minute, is God really for me? Because I have some troubles in my life sometimes. Do you guys have the same? So if we agree that we have troubles in life, how could God be for us? Well, we have to keep in mind that we live in a sinful world. Not that God made it sinful, but we as people made it sinful. That's part of it. But how do we know that God is for us? All we have to do is look at the cross of Jesus Christ, and we know how much God loves us, that he would give his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God is definitely for us. So by God's grace and power, may he enable us to always continue in Jesus Christ. In the fourth stanza, we see that the person is addressing death. "Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ." Again, "Death, you cannot end my gladness. I am baptized into Christ." But think about it, though. Since people who are baptized into Christ and continue in Christ, they still die. So where are the eternal blessings? They still die. So should we just give up on what the Bible says? By no means. God wants us to see it this way. He wants us to understand that death is a door. Death is a doorway through which God carries us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. So when we see death in the right way, it's not a horrible thing for the one who knows Jesus Christ. The fourth stanza goes on and says, "When I die, I leave all sadness to inherit paradise." Think about the criminal dying on the cross next to Jesus. We have our shadows there on the wall to remind us of those other two crosses. And yet, what did Jesus say to the criminal? "Today, you will be with me in paradise." When I die, I leave all sadness to inherit paradise. For us who live on earth, we tend to have a sad view of death. When our loved ones die, it's a time of separation between us and our loved ones. Even if they die in Christ, it still can be a time of sadness. But what we are forgetting, though, if we are sad, what we are forgetting would be God's perspective on death. We have one perspective. God has another perspective. We find God's perspective in Isaiah chapter 57. It says, the righteous, that's talking about people who die in Jesus, the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Then it goes on to say these words, talking about the Christian life. It says, those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. Thinking about all those blessings, I think I want to die right now. So I get taken out of this evil world. I'm in a place of peace and in a place of rest. Sound pretty good? Who wants to go with me right now? Okay, a lot of takers. Well, God wants us to know that something wonderful is coming. Think about it like this. If we have the blessings that we do in this life, in the midst of the sinful world, how much greater will the blessings be when we are out of this sinful world in Jesus Christ? So when we die, that's one more step up. When Christ comes again, that's another step up yet. So we have a couple wonderful steps to go when we know Jesus Christ. Finally, in the fourth stanza, it says, though I lie in dust and ashes. So when I say those words, think about lying in your own casket. Though I lie in dust and ashes, faith's assurance brightly flashes. Baptism has the strength divine to make life immortal mine. One more time. Though I lie in dust and ashes, faith's assurance brightly flashes. Baptism has the strength divine to make life immortal mine. So think about what's coming for you and for me. Even for the kids who are here, the day is coming for them too. So we've died, we're physically dead, we're laying on our back inside of a casket under about 6 feet of dirt. How do you like that thought? Is it a nice thing to think about? No, it's not. But is it an okay thing to think about? When we die in Jesus Christ, it's an okay thing to think about because we have promises in the Bible that cannot fail. And the Bible promises us that Jesus Christ, he will definitely return at the appointed time. And when he comes, he will raise every person back to life. And then finally, for those who were baptized into Christ and those who have continued in Christ to the end, they will be blessed forever and ever. And finally, the fifth stanza. There is nothing worth comparing to this lifelong comfort sure. There is nothing worth comparing to this lifelong comfort sure. So on the basis of that statement, I ask you, what is valuable to you? Do you have some gold in a safe place? Is your health important to you? Do you have other possessions that you value? God wants us to know, let's be honest, if we're going to be honest with the scriptures, the Bible is saying that if we're going to value any of that kind of stuff more than we value our Lord Jesus Christ, the day will come when we ourselves will perish with all that stuff. That's a tough thing for Americans to deal with, because for most Americans, they're thinking a whole lot more about the stuff that they have than they are thinking about their Lord Jesus Christ. So this is where the rubber meets the road. What is really important to you? Jesus said in Mark 8, he said, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" So oftentimes people in this life here on earth, they invest themselves into the daily and weekly grind of working as much as they can, making as much as they can, buying as much as they can, having as much pleasure as they can, and they continue to do that until they die. They might think that they've had the best life ever, and yet they will have the worst eternity they can imagine. God wants us to know that that's not what this short life on earth is about. If we're going to get caught up in that, it's not going to end well. According to the Word of God, which I believe is true, it's not going to end well. God wants us to realize what is really important. When we think about Jesus Christ, that's a great blessing now and a great blessing forever and ever. He should be our top blessing, the thing we're most thankful for, the thing we think about, the person we think about all the time. Because he makes all the difference for time and eternity. But when we get wrapped up in all the other stuff, it's easy for the other stuff to push Jesus Christ right out of the picture. The hymn goes on and says, "Open-eyed, my grave is staring. Even there, I'll sleep secure." Imagine if your home was a little bit like it is in Africa, where typically when people die, you're buried kind of right outside the front door. So imagine if even now, for all of us, there was a grave dug right in our yard by the door. So every time we went in and out of the house, we looked at our grave. It was staring us there right in the face, and we knew that one day we're going to be in that hole in the ground. How would that feel to us? "Open-eyed, my grave is staring. Even there, I'll sleep secure." What about you? Are you afraid to die? Is your grave a scary thought? We should admit that it's all coming for every one of us. No one is going to be left out on this. God wants us to know, though, that for all who are in Christ, for all who die in Christ, we don't have to fear the grave. We know that when we're resting in the grave, that's going to be a good rest. And we know that the day will come when Jesus Christ will wake us up to a wonderful, wonderful eternity. Even with that said, though, when we die, our body separates from our soul and spirit. The body goes into the grave. The soul and the spirit, though, goes to be with God. That's what Jesus meant when he said that today you will be with me in paradise. He wasn't saying that the criminal's body would be in paradise. He meant his soul and spirit on that day would be in paradise. So we don't have to wonder about being in the grave. That's just our body. Our bodies are a shell, a tent. They're not that important. God wants us to know that the soul and the spirit is more important. But still, though, God will come. He will raise our bodies, reunite body, soul, and spirit back together, and fully together we will be with God forever. Finally, at the end of the hymn, it says, "Though my flesh awaits its raising, still my soul continues praising. I am baptized into Christ. I'm a child of paradise." Though my flesh awaits its raising, see, the person is speaking from the perspective that he has died, and his body is in the grave, and his soul and spirit are in heaven. "Though my flesh awaits its raising, still my soul continues praising. I am baptized into Christ. I'm a child of paradise." So when we are baptized into Christ, and by God's grace and power continue to be in Christ, how are we blessed? Our sins are forgiven. We are members of God's holy family. The Holy Spirit is living within us. We rejoice that Jesus Christ is our Savior. We try to follow Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives. We know that all of God's promises are true, and we are certain that by the grace and power of God in Christ, we will one day body, soul, and spirit, be with God forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.